11 hours ago. So trust that you had a restful night. Appreciate, I know our labor committee worked late last night. Everyone was here working committees early this morning. Appreciate your hard work. Before we take roll, we still have committees working. We want to make sure we have a quorum. Going to do an I think if nobody leaves, I think we have a quorum. I have to talk.
Do you want me to leave the roll open then?
So we're going to take the roll and we'll leave the roll open as committee members come in, and then we're going to get moving. So with that, Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Roll call, convening roll call for the ninth day, Thursday, February 22nd, 2018. Alan. Barlow. Barlow. Biteman. Blackburn. Blake. Bovey. Brown. Burkhart. Bird. Clausen. Clem. Connolly. Court. Crank. Dayton. Edwards. Eklund. Ayer. Flitner. Freeman. Furphy. Guru. Gray. Greer. Haley. Hallinan. Halverson. Henderson. Hunt. Jennings. Kinner. Kirkbride. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lone. Laux. McGuire. Madden. Miller. Nicholas. Northrup. Obermuller. Olson. Paxton. Pelkey. Piperinen. Ponell. Salazar. Schwartz. Simpson. Summers. Steinmetz. Stith. Sweeney. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker. We'll keep the roll call open.
Members, I'm going to wait till we have more of our committee members here before we do the prayer and the pledge. I'd like us to all be here for the prayer and the pledge. So we have several messages from the Senate that will take a few minutes, so we're going to start on those.
February 21st, 2018. Message number 144. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 13, School Facility Property Insurance, ayes 29, excused 1, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 145. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 18, Orphan Site Remediation Funding. Ayes 29, excused 1, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 146. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 24, Court Information Technology Equipment. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 147. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 25, Corrections Exception to Defense of Habitation Law. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 148. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 26, Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System, Collection Agencies. Ayes 29, excused, 1. Signed, Alan Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 149. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 27, Excise Tax Audits. Ayes 29, excused, 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 150. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 36, Veterans Tuition Program Limits. Ayes 29, excused, 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 151. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 50, Collection of State Financial Obligations. Ayes 29, excused, 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 152. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 70, Revisor's Bill. Ayes 29, excused, 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 153. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 75, Biological Products, Pharmacies. Ayes 29, excused, 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 154. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate Joint Resolution number 2, 150th Anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Laramie. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We're going to pause. I still want to, we have about three committees out before we do the pledge and our prayer. So we have some more messages from the Senate we're going to process here momentarily, and we'll continue to read those.
Message number 155. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 22. Orders of Protection Revisions, Ayes 30, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 156. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 40, Commercial Air Service Improvement, Ayes 22, Noes 8, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 157. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 41, Organ Donation Promotion Task Force, Ayes 30, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 158. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 42, Professional Licensing Applicant Criminal Records. Ayes 29, Noes 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 159. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 55, Water Development Account 3. Ayes 30. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 160. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 60, Wyoming Women's Suffrage Pathway, Highway Designation. Ayes 30, signed Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 161. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 69, 2018 large project funding. Ayes 29, conflict 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 162. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 80, vulnerable adults. Ayes 30. Signed, Senate Chief Clerk, Ellen Thompson. Message number 163. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed. Correction. The bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file number 112, Retirement Center and Pioneer Home. Ayes 14, noes 16. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 164. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 15, large project account modifications. Ayes 30. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 165. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 116, Retirement Income Security Task Force 2. Ayes 18. Noes 12. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We still have a few members. It'll be within 1 minute. We will finish the roll and have our prayer for the day. I just wanted to introduce our doctor of the day. Phil Caron is from Washington, D.C., but he is now in Wyoming doing his residency at the University of Wyoming Family Practice Residency here in Cheyenne. So welcome to the house, Dr. Caron. Okay, we're going to finish the roll. We've left that open. We're going to finish roll call.
Finishing convening roll call, Barlow. Barlow. Excused, Bovey. Brown. Burkhart. Excused, Flitner. Freeman. Excused, Kinner. Larson Lloyd. Excused, Nicholas. Excused, Northrup. Paxton. Pieperinen. Schwartz. Summers. Excused, Walters. Excused, Wilson. Excused, Winters. Excused. We have 49 present, 10 excused. Oh, and Barlow. Is Barlow excused? Freeman? Freeman is here. Barlow. Excused. We have 50 present, 10 excused.
We're going to pause for another 45 seconds. Okay, I think our committees have returned. If Chief Clerk, I think our Appropriations Committee has returned. And members who are presenting bills, if you could finalize the roll, please, Chief Clerk.
Finalizing roll. Allen? Allen? Allen excused. Barlow?
Here.
Burkhart?
Here.
Larson Lloyd?
Here.
Nicholas? Nicholas?
Excused.
Schwartz? Summers?
Here.
Walters?
Here.
Wilson?
Here.
Winters?
He's at a function.
Excused. Allen and Nicholas. Now we have 59 present, one excused.
Thank you, members. Okay, we have our messages from the Senate are completed. We're back now on our order of business of our prayer for the day. Appreciate 59 of us being here now, and we're blessed with the pastor, Bob Thompson, with First Presbyterian Church, so we'd please rise.
Good morning from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. Almighty God, your glory shines throughout the world. We commend our nation and our state to your care, that we may live securely in peace and be guided by your providence. Give all in authority the wisdom and strength to serve you faithfully. Help them remember that they are called to serve the people of this state as lovers of truth and justice. Lord, you have given us this good land as our heritage. Make us always remember your generosity. Empower us to constantly do your will. Bless our land with honest industry, sound learning, and an honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from any evil way. Though we come from many communities, make us a united people. God, we lift up to you the cities and communities that these representatives call home. We pray for peace and wholeness. Keep our neighborhoods free from social strife. Give each citizen strength of purpose and concern for others, that our communities can be shining lights on a hill. displaying the love of neighbor that you have called us to. Sovereign Lord, bless these representatives of the great state of Wyoming with energy and strength for the work that is before them today. The future of Wyoming will be shaped by the decisions they make. Guide them by your Spirit, that they may do their work with wisdom and grace. Help them to consider each item through your eyes. May their decisions reflect kindness for those who are hurting, comfort for those who are troubled, and justice for the oppressed. May their work reflect the motto of our state, ensuring equality to all its citizens. God, I place each representative into your caring and strengthening arms. Keep them healthy and give them your peace, the peace that only you can give. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball! Right on.
Have a good day.
Okay, we're at that order of business now. Bills on third reading, regular list. We have a journal report. Well, we're going to back up. Reading clerk, please read the journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 20th, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru.
Thank you. We're at that order of business. Bills now on third reading, final passage. And the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 29.
Mr. Speaker, can I point of order?
Point of order.
Did our chairman of the journal committee not sign the journal, and why not?
Looking at the journal committee report, it has one signature by Representative Gru. Representative Gray, would you like to sign? I think this is a... Okay, we've signed by both members. Thank you. Okay, now we're on House Bill 29.
House Bill 29, sponsored by Education, Alternative School Accountability, an act relating to the Wyoming Accountability and Education Act, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 29, haven't been read three separate times. Question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Bill 29, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Guru. Aye. Gray. No. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. No. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. Aye. Madden. No. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pieperinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. No. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters excused. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Clem. Aye. To no. Blackburn. Aye. To no. Larson Dan, aye. To no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 47 aye, 12 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 29, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 29 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 78.
House Bill 78, sponsored by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources. Omnibus Water Bill, Construction, an act relating to water development projects, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have two amendments. First amendment is Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 78 and ask for your favorable consideration. This has to do with the weather modification program. Quite a few years, it was a 25-75 split with the lower basin states. Wyoming was going to pay, Wyoming did pay 25%. The other basin states paid 75. Well, when it came about this year, the other basin states wanted a 50-50 split. And the commission that deals with water, they passed that. When it got to select water, we knocked it down to 14% would be Wyoming's share. And so that's what the original bill was. So I'm just trying to put it back to the way it was for 6 or 7 years. It might have been even 8 years, the 25-75 split. So we'd change it from 80,000 to 130,000. And this is coming out of water account one, I believe. And change the percentage from 86% up to 75%. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Stand for any questions.
Mr. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I stand on in support of this amendment. I'll be honest, this is weather modification over in my area. I know in the state to the south of us, in our corner of the state, you know, they spend millions of dollars on weather modification for ski areas, and this is to try to get more water in the Wind River Range when we have those opportunities. So I stand on in support of this amendment.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. Just following up again, I guess a little bit, I'm just trying to learn about water. I admit I don't know a ton about the water, but I do understand that according to the bill, the amendment makes the state of Wyoming pay more and other states pay less. I believe I heard the bringer of the amendment say that we're evidently compromising because the other states wanted to go even further. But if that just could be clarified and what the downside, if we voted this amendment down, is the thought that the other states will go off in a huff and pull out of the project entirely? Or could I hear a little bit about the potential consequences?
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, the reason our good Select Water Committee made this amendment is because of the usage. So much of the water goes to the state south of us, and so on and against the amendment.
Representative Larson Dan.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I was going to try to explain a little bit about this. What happens is the lower states get 7.5 million acre feet, and the northern upper part of the Colorado has to get that down to them. And that's been from a compact that we signed, I can't remember, 24, but I really don't know the exact date. But take the whole Colorado River as one, our share is 14% of the water allotment. And a reason for doing this is because of that. If we do this cloud seeding and we get some extra snow, which might, you know, bring 3 to 5%, they say it might be 15%, that's great. It'll go to Lake Powell. And at that point, they can either, you know, pass it on if need be to the lower states. But the lower states, they're given $1 million, I think it is, to the upper states combined. And Colorado and Utah both have their ski areas contributing. Wyoming has none contributing. And they, so when we went to negotiate the funds that the lower states would give to the upper ones, they said that at this point we're only going to give you 50%. And so we had to raise our rate up to, you know, up to 240 or whatever thousand. But I think this is fair. 14%, that's our share of the allotment. Let's leave it that way.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I could shed a little light on that. So we have been at 75%. We were the ones that did the research on weather mod, and it's between 6 and 15%. The 6% is usually in those years when you don't have the snow events to be able to seed the clouds. The 15% in a wetter year. but it's a very significant amount of water to Wyoming water users. I support this amendment because we're not paying, this doesn't bring us to paying 14% of the actual costs. The 50% was closer to Wyoming paying 14% of the upper basin. With 86%, we're only paying for 4%. And I don't know, it just kind of takes one of the tools out of our engineer and state engineer as well as the commissions that work in that river basin. We've got all kinds of problems in the lower part of it. Wyoming doesn't have it. We don't use all of our water. But if we don't have enough water in Lake Powell, the water level drops below the generator levels, and it very well could do that. We lose $2.5 million in generation costs. That is kind of an automatic deal every time. There are other things that are being done to increase the water in the lower basins. They're buying out irrigation acres. We've developed water, and they're Wyoming and in Wyoming. That bothers me as much as anything because we developed the water for use in Wyoming, and they can be bought out. I don't think it's permanent, but anyway, this snow augmentation probably pays for itself easily just on the east side of the mountain in benefits, and none of that's included in any of the things that I've seen. It's mostly focused on the upper Colorado River, which is our Green River. I'd like to see it at 50%. It'd be fair. But at least if we go back and negotiate at the 25-75 level, they won't think we're just a bunch of hardheads from the sticks. And I think that's a message that we send with our people that will be doing that.
Okay, thank you. Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, in doing the interim just last month, the Select Water Committee did decide to reduce this to the 86-14% ratio. And so I think that you're not talking about a lot of money here, but that's not the issue. The issue here is sending a message out that says that Wyoming is not going to pay more than what its fair share is worth. And so I recognize that there's risk to the program as a whole if this goes forward, but by and large, I just don't see why the state should be paying above and beyond what it's going to benefit from within the boundaries of the state. So on and against the amendment.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry I didn't bring my shovel. We're going to talk about water, so. If you look at a map of that river that's a color that if you mix yellow and blue together down by the southwest corner of the state, that on that map you'll see that there's two dams that are one of them in Wyoming and Wyoming's contributing to the other one. And so when we put a call on the river and that call on the river occurs, Wyoming has to pay their share. Well, one dam is entirely within the state of Wyoming. That's where the water comes from. So that call will come out of that reservoir. Now, if you happen to live over where the water's green and the springs come from the rocks, that those communities rely on their industry for that water coming out of that dam. If we take that dam down to 30% left in it, we're going to be hurting in those two industries. And so that's why this is going on. That's why we're doing weather modification. That's why we're trying to feed water into it. It's about Wyoming. It's about the other guys down the stream, but we're protecting ourselves. Thank you. On and for the amendment.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And appreciate the last speaker, but I don't know if I caught all that. It felt like it was enigmatic code or something like that. Not being able to actually follow, I don't know. That's besides the point. So my question is kind of a serious question here, and it's going to guide my decision here. And this got me thinking. So we're talking about you know, snow augmentation and cloud seeding and stuff. And I really want to know if someone can help me out from Select Water, what are the chemicals that we're pumping up into the air to do this cloud seeding? I'd like to know, and I'd like to know if it's healthy for humans. That's what I'd like to know. Thank you.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I rise in opposition to the amendment. I don't think it's any secret. I've never been a big fan of this program anyway. So my memory is not just a little weak, but really weak. But I recall this started out as one of those studies. We invested money to see if this would work. We got enough snow events. We finally, after, I can't remember what it was, 2 or 3 years, got the report. I think the good chair of transportation, his numbers were what I recall as well. You know, we find in the dry years that there was maybe a 6% augmentation, and then in the wet years, it went up to 15. What I can't remember is what the error ratio was, and it was significant, if I recall right. So the program went through. We got the study, and then the agency that oversees this, the department, comes back and says, wow, we got these leases. They're already in place. We got the equipment up there. You know, let us continue this, and we'll go to our southern states, and they'll be able to utilize this. And so we set up the share ratio. And, you know, and the concept was is that they would be so interested in seeding our mountains and our weather to be able to help them in their basin. And now what I'm hearing is that they want to keep reducing the amount that they want to share on that. I mean, at some point in time, maybe it's a program that ought to just completely go away. But right now, I guess the way it came out from Select Water at the 86%, that's fine. They bet this. I'd go with it. But to reduce this back down to 75 just to be able to create negotiation was something that really hasn't been that critical. I mean, okay, we say we're protecting Wyoming water, but, you know, so you're pulling that snow, you're taking that moisture out of one mountain range. How are you affecting the next mountain range over? How are you affecting the next mountain range over? Those are things that haven't really been studied. So I've never been a fan of this program, and I'm going to rise in opposition to this amendment.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against amendment, I want you to think about something. I think this program works probably as scientifically as the global warming does. When they seed the clouds, and that will go wherever it may, and I think over on the western part of this state, which you would call the center part of it, where they had all the flooding at this last year, it cost us a lot of money and the people that lived over there for the flooding that happened. And I'm not so sure it wasn't from events like this that caused it. So there's a benefit and a casualty out of everything you do like this. And I'm on and against the amendment.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to say one thing, and I'm not sure we've quite gotten the bottom line here. And the bottom line here is if we go at a higher percentage and pass this amendment, we're subsidizing other states. So please vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Really, I'm backing up alongside the one person that spoke a couple times ago from up in my neck of the woods. When he and I both served on Minerals Committee a number of years ago, we used to talk about this very same thing. The research at the time demonstrated that in a snow event that was already occurring, they could increase the amount of snowfall. We had a very particularly snowy year one year on the west side of the state, and what happened is they increased the snowfall to 212%, which the following spring created some pretty bad flooding situations. And so this is not producing snow out of nothing. It's increasing current snow conditions. Secondly, most of this water doesn't stay within the state of Wyoming. It's part of the Upper Colorado River Compact situation, and so it's designed to flow toward our south and west. And what I would like to see, if we're to continue doing that, it shouldn't be at our dime because the majority of it doesn't actually fall on Wyoming. It goes to another location. And if they would like to pay for that water, we'd be more than willing to help them, give them the opportunity to do that. But I don't know that it should come at the Wyoming taxpayers out of their pocketbook.
Any other member for their first time? Before we move to second time. Okay, we're going to move to second time, Representative Larson Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I may have confused everybody. I am on this amendment and against it. I do want to clarify some points that if we do produce moisture through cloud seeding or also through buyback where they actually buy the water from farmers and they will not use the water, there's no guarantee that this gets to Lake Powell. There's no way to shepherd this water through Colorado and Utah to get it to the lake, and that's our biggest concern, is keeping that lake level up. And I agree, we do want to do that, but there's no guarantee it'll get there. And what's happening right now is Colorado's kind of taking it to the other side of the hill there on their big big metropolitan areas. Against the bill, or the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the last speaker's comments about the water not being shepherded downstream, that we've snow augmentation and buyout acres, and that water doesn't make it downstream, is kind of an odd argument. I don't believe there's any truth to it, because the members downstream are paying money to see that that water gets in there because it's helpful to them. The reason I apologize to the members. I've used some proper names that aren't in this bill. But that lake that I spoke about earlier has only got to about half its level several times. So we run a risk of losing the generation power. I think silver nitrate doesn't pose any health problems. That's been shown. In fact, it may have health benefits. The effect to the environment elsewhere has been shown to be insignificant by stripping a little bit of water out of the snowstorms that come by. The error ratio would probably increase into the 20s and 30s if you threw out the studies that probably shouldn't have been kept. We had two ranges of mountains, and you detect the amount of silver nitrate in both ranges, and the ranges were contaminated. They used the research anyway, and those. That research would have brought did bring the actual improvement to snow augmentation down. You throw those out, and there's other scientists in other states that say this is increasing it by 20-30%. So it is helpful. I guess that covers most of the questions that were asked. I would hope that you'd support this. I do think that we're, by voting against it, we're doing based on principle and nothing else. I think we're inaccurate on the percentages. We're going to, with this, we'll only pay for 4%. It isn't fair to the other states.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Once again, honor and support of this amendment. And just another reminder, ski areas pay and do this. There must be a fair amount of science out there behind this. And then I want you to realize where some of this is done. So if you imagine my district where I live in this bowl of mountains, and then so all of that water drains down into goes south to the Colorado. But then on the other side of that range of mountains, where this flooding was described, actually, that goes a different direction and actually goes out through the basin area. And so that water is water that can be utilized by irrigators in the state of Wyoming. Yes, it may help Lake Powell, but I guarantee you it will help irrigators in the state of Wyoming. On in support of this amendment.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do appreciate, I'm, you know, a little bit ignorant, but a little bit of cause of concern. So speaking on and against the amendment now, I appreciate the good chairman of transportation illustrating what we're actually using for cloud seeding, silver nitrate. Just a quick Google search. It says it's toxic and corrosive. Little exposure to the chemical will not produce immediate or any side or even any side effects other than purple skin stains. But with more exposure, side effects will become noticeable. It is very poisonous and can cause burns. So this is what we're pumping into the air. So the less that Wyoming has to pay for something like this, the better. I'm against this amendment. I'm against the whole program. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other members for their second time before the sponsor? Moving to the sponsor, Representative Blake.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I didn't realize, well, you know the old adage, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. That's for darn sure. And the lower states are, like I thought, maybe I didn't describe it. We used to be in this program. We paid 25, they paid 75%. The last bill that came from the water development group was 50-50. The lower states wanted us to pay more. So then Select Water got it. We dropped it down from 50% to 14%. I want to take it back to what it was for all those previous years, 25-75. And when you live in the town where the good representative House District 60 and I live, where the river is green, it's nice in the late August when we still have lots of flows, lots of fish. Weather mod last year, we got a ton of snow. Everybody got a ton of snow. And this year, not so much. So the program, it does work. It's proven to work. Silver nitrate, I didn't know it did all that to you. Make sure I'm not going to drink any of that tonight. But it's been proven that it doesn't affect the ground where the snow has fallen. The University over the hill did some studies on that. Very negligible, that component. Previous speakers talked about it's not only the side that goes down through the basin states. It's the other side that gets benefits of the snow weather modification, too. So I don't want to belabor it anymore. Whatever your choice may be, vote it up, vote it down. I say take it back to the original one, 25-75. That's dropping it 25% from the original proposal. And when it came to Select Water, like I said, we knocked her down a little more. I just want to take it back up. Another legislator said he remembers we were talking about millions of dollars on water projects. This is for $70,000. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 78. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment is passed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. My hearing is improving. Members, we're going to pause before amendment number two. We have some special guests in the gallery, and Representative Steinmetz, their constituents, citizens in her district, and she's going to take a privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We'd like to welcome the fourth graders from Torrington, and Representative Hunt is going to help me introduce them. Welcome to the House.
What? Yeah.
And, Mr. Speaker, so this is the fourth grade class from Trail Elementary in Torrington, and they've been led down here by Mrs. Orr and by Mrs. Cummings. So thank you guys for coming down. We really appreciate it.
I remember fourth grade Wyoming history. I still remember seeing the trail ruts and visiting Fort Laramie. Perhaps some of you can remember that. Fourth, we teach Wyoming history in fourth grade. So I would remind the members that this is a reimbursable trip on school transportation. They didn't hitchhike down there. They rode a yellow school bus. And we really appreciate you getting up early, come watching the People's House, because, hey, we're doing all the work for the future. And we're not going backwards. We got a lot to do moving forward. So thank you, teachers, kids. Have a great day. See you all. Thank you. Okay, members, we are on amendment number 2 to House Bill 78, and that is Chairman Nicholas. No, it's Representative Schwartz. My apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. An apology is certainly accepted. Move amendment 2, the third reading of House Bill 78, and ask for your favorable consideration. I first became aware of this problem. I was aware of it before, but when Committee 2 heard the budget presentation of water development earlier this year, the first thing that caught my attention was that the expenditure for this particular project, the total of $73 million, would drain Water Development 3 balance to actually less than zero. And I was a little concerned because this account does not fill very rapidly. It receives about $800,000 a year of severance tax is its only real source of funding. By my calculation, that would be 90 years before we could replenish that money in the account. So I started to look at this a little more closely. The next thing that caught my attention was that roughly 25% of the water that would be created by building this dam would actually be going to the state of Colorado, the state to the south of us. And there is no contract yet with that state to participate in the project. And I was a little leery that we would be constructing a dam that would be benefiting people who were not contributing to it. So my concern was growing. And then looking at it more closely, I realized there was another dam that had already been constructed that is less than 20 miles away as the crow flies, that's actually much larger and serving a lot of the same areas. My concerns are now really growing. And then, in addition, I found out that there used to be a copper mine in the vicinity of this drainage, and there were concerns that we would be building a reservoir that would be coming contaminated with copper. And as one of the benefits of these projects is recreational, I was beginning to wonder what the fish would be like that were living in contaminated water. Another cause for concern. And then it came up that of the appropriation that was being asked for at this time, part of that money, $7 million, was to purchase 7,000 acres of Forest Service land, which is $10,000 an acre. It's a hefty price for the land. And we have to purchase that land to move forward with the project, but there's not a contingency that we don't buy the land until the project is moving forward. We would have to purchase this land on the hope that we would then move forward with the project. If the project didn't move forward, for instance, because the EIS came out with a recommendation that it was not a good project, we would now have 700 acres of state land in an area where there would not be a whole lot of uses for it. So these are a number of my concerns related to this project, and I finally reached the point that I do not think this is a project we should proceed with at this time. So consequently, if you look at the amendment, it basically deletes it from the bill. And that is my proposal, and I hope you will support me on this, and I stand here to answer any questions.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, the other day in the JAC, the committee reduced this from its current originally proposed $40 million down to $10 million, took three-quarters of it out. I honestly didn't really have a problem with that because, I mean, I think that it is a hefty amount of money. It takes up, the majority of the water omnibus construction, and it's a large chunk of change. That being said, I would hate to derail this project. The good speaker who's bringing the amendment said that in purchasing a Forest Service land, that takes a lot of time to do. These projects as a whole take a lot of time to do. In fact, one of the good members of Appropriations asked me in that meeting, he said, Mr. Chairman, were you even born when we started discussing this? And that's not much of an exaggeration. But I, as far as the benefits that we do get from this, if this is to go forward, I would hate to see that go away. If we reduce this to the currently proposed amount of $10 million, that does not derail the project. I don't believe that that delays the project. I think that's probably just fine because it gives everybody a year to take a step back, to keep moving forward, but to wait and see where other funding might be available. Never want to speculate on what's going on back in the national capital, but there's a possibility of an infrastructure bill coming forward this year. Within that infrastructure bill, it's understood that there's a lot of water development projects being planned in that, and so if that goes forward as planned, then there's an opportunity there for our state to either get money out of that, to work with other federal agencies to see where other funding is available, and then just in general, possibly not have to put up the full $40 million that was originally proposed, and we may save ourselves some money. So the $10 million, I think, should remain, and I think the project needs to keep going forward. I think that it needs to stay there so that we can continue having this discussion. So thank you, on and against.
Chairman Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the amendment. So, ladies and gentlemen, when the Board of Control and the engineers evaluate the dam programs that are brought to them, they don't prioritize them. It's first in line, first in right, in essence. And so this project was first in line, so it's gone through the processes, and now it's going to be funded. And there are five or six other projects in the pipeline that are significantly less in cost, provide significantly more water, and provide to unirrigated acres and to more benefits to across the state of Wyoming. There was no analysis whether or not this was the best use of our dollars. And if you look at, if you go on your Craigslist, Craig, on page 6, you can see how much money is in water account 3, where this comes from. The current balance is $50 million. So this dam project costs $73 million. And if we fund this program, we will have to take money from other water accounts or from other matching funds just to finish the program. And I would represent to you that once this moves forward with a $10 million appropriation, then not only it will be first in line and first in right, because the argument will, they'll come in here and say, folks, we just spent $10 million on this, and so we've got to move forward with it. So if we slow down the process, and frankly, we need to ask our folks who evaluate the dams that we are supporting in this state to prioritize and to valueize them so we know we get the biggest bang for our buck for the dollars we're spending. Because right now they don't do it. We asked them in our committee, what's the greatest priority? He says, well, there isn't a priority because we weren't asked to do that. Basically, they're following the dictates of the Select Water Committee. And I would represent to you that this is not the highest and best use of it. So what this dam does, and like I said, it's 20 miles from the Savory Dam that we just funded for $33 million several years ago. This this only adds 2,000 acres of ground that is currently unirrigated in the state of Wyoming. That's it. This benefits roughly 100 landowners and about 5,000 acres, but 3,000 acres of those are already irrigated, so it's a little bit of additional late fall water. And that turns into, if you take the full beneficiaries, about $720,000 per recipient of the water that's going to be coming on the state of Wyoming. And I just don't, I think that we need to understand that and make those determinations before we jump off this cliff. So, on in favor of the amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm certainly in support of this amendment. I used to be on the Select Water Committee, and there is a metric we certainly went through then that would look at cost-benefit ratios. In the case of agriculture, you'd look at, well, how much incremental addition to crop yield and so on is this likely to cause, and then if so, then what's the marginal value of that? It used to be a rule of thumb. I don't know if that's true anymore, but it used to be like for irrigating hayland, for example, you know, you really couldn't justify more than $700 to $900 an acre. And I look at these numbers here, and you got 2,000 acres that cost $73 million to build. You know, that's way out of the parameter of $700 to $900. We're talking $30,000 to $50,000 an acre. Now, I don't know what's happened on the Select Water Committee. I'm sure it isn't just because I left that they forget to look at cost-benefit ratios, but this is totally inappropriate. I think it's inappropriate. I don't know why the Appropriations Committee put in $10 million because all it does is postpone the bleeding. And the only way we can get this taken care of is to vote yes on this amendment.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did support moving this bill to the floor, and I'm very interested in learning more about this amendment. And I heard the good chairman mention that about 100 folks are benefited. So my question is, what's the impact if we spend all this money? What's the impact if we don't? If we don't do the project, what's the impact?
Representative Larson, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So some other conversation that we had in when the bill came before us in the Appropriations Committee was that the environmental impact study has not been completed. That still has to be done. The purchase of the property has not taken place. That has to be done. The $10 million would allow them to start making property purchases, which they would plan on doing before the environmental impact study was done. So is there a guarantee that we'll be able to get the project permitted not until the environmental impact study is done? So we'll be buying property ahead of the results of the study, which then could possibly be denied and leave us sitting there paying a premium price for property that we would then have to dispose of at a discounted price of what we paid for it. It just does not fit into the normal model in my mind of how that process ought to move forward. I think that you would want to know that you've got the project permitted, that it can be permitted, and we don't have the blessing of the state to the south that they're going to participate. So I would think that we would want to have some of that in place before we start purchasing and doing some of the other things that we need. I'm in support of the amendment.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm in opposition to this amendment. It's going to be a tough battle, I can see. The commission has gone through this and rated it as the one they wanted to pick. We had $40 million in there. They cut it back to $10 million. This is one of the 10 dams in 10 years that was selected by our executive leader. I think we need to pursue it. There are some wording in here, line 23 on page 37, that it says additional appropriations and funding sources shall be identified to provide full funding for the project before any bids are let for construction, excluding land acquisition. And you are correct that if we did buy the land, we'd have to figure out what we would do with it if we didn't proceed. But this will benefit some Colorado acres. If we don't show that we are interested in pursuing this, I can't see where they would try to put some money into it. But there's positive signs that Colorado will get their share of the dollars into it. So, against the amendment.
So, members, I just caution you against using naming places and people and things. Let's try to keep this not doing that. Is there anyone that wants to speak for their first time? First time. Anyone who's spoken for their first time would like to speak a second time? Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, that's just we want to make sure that we're clear on a couple of things. This is a top priority. It has been a top priority and was placed there because we didn't have any other projects in line at the time it was put there. There are other projects that can be developed. Water is important. We do need to develop it, and we have places that those monies can go. But I think that if you took all projects out there together, that they're very easily could be a shifting of what those priorities may be if they were to redo that. So, again, suggest your or would hope that you'd support the amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we spent 14 minutes a little while ago talking about what should be the appropriate percent on cloud seeding. And we were arguing whether it should be 50% or 25% or 14%. And we got a project here that we've already said, in the original bill, we were going to take 100% of it, but we don't care if our neighbors to the south participate or not. There's a lot to like about this amendment. I mean, you got a situation where they want to go ahead and buy ground before they've got a commitment to build it. And it looks like a classic situation where a government's going to buy high and sell low if it doesn't pan out. And I just really ask you to vote in favor of this amendment and save some hard-earned Wyoming money.
Anyone wish to speak for a second time? Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, just on and against this amendment, like I say, this has already been reduced to a shell of its formerly appropriated self. The state to the south is also involved in this, all right? We're not standing alone. And down the road, when we have when Wyoming has infrastructure, that's a great thing. And I don't know why we would want to reduce our potential infrastructure projects by taking this out. When the more we invest in this state, the better off we are. And once again, if we take all this out, this derails the process that's been ongoing, that's been in discussion in the works for years. And with the $10 million that's still in there, which, once again, only a quarter of what was, we can keep moving forward, and we can keep looking at options, and possibly we might be able to save the state some money down from what the original $40 million was. If we can find funding from somewhere else, from a federal agency, from upcoming federal legislation, then, hey, all the better. But I would encourage you not to take this all the way out, because I think that this project, to the extent that it has been discussed already by all parties involved, deserve to continue moving forward. So on and against. Thank you.
Anyone else for the sponsor? Moving to the sponsor, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I will make my final comments brief because I have a bill on general file I hope we get to. The one thing I neglected to mention, if we approve this dam, that account goes to zero. The only way we can refill that account is going to be general fund money. And we seem to have other problems in this state that require general fund money to help deal with it. So it doesn't make sense to me. There are other dam projects we can find that would be probably a better use of the existing water development money. I urge you to vote aye on this amendment, and thank you for your time.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 78. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Amendment number 2 has been adopted. House Bill 78, having been read 3 separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Bill 78, Allen.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Conflict.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings. No. Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 conflict.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 78 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109.
House Bill 109, sponsored by Appropriations, Public Employee Retirement Plan, Contributions, an act relating to public employees, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have amendments. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109, and members would ask for your favorable aye vote here. So what this does, if you look on page 3 of your bill, on page 109, this has to do, again, with pensions, all right, and what the state pays towards pensions. And so if you look there on page number 3 of your bill, starting at line 7, and here's the operative language, all right, so pay attention to this. It says, except as provided in paragraphs 3 through 5 of this subsection, any employer may pay any amount of a member's share of retirement contributions without a salary reduction, offset, or combination thereof. Well, what does that mean? Well, in short, it means this. I'm going to use general numbers here, but generally it's around 16%, maybe a little bit higher than that. I'm not sure the exact number. But we're looking at a pension amount of what an employer and an employee pays together at about 16%. Okay? It's roughly split in half. Employer pays about half of that. The employee pays about half of that. What this operative language here says, that any employer who pays into the pension system can pay an additional amount of the employee's share. So while the state, in this example, the state pays 8%, the state can also pay an amount, any amount of the employee's share. So the state could pay the whole 16%. So what does the state currently pay? Well, that's where we get into lines 12 through 22. And we see that the good JAC committee, they went ahead and they amended this. So there is an amendment already. And so you see on line 12, it says for state employee members, 5.57%. And so it's actually come down a little bit. So we're picking up the employee's pension part, and we're paying 5.57%. So what does that leave left over? Well, they're paying, what, 2-point-something percent? Roughly 2.5% is what they're paying towards their own pension. The state is picking up everything else, 13.5% roughly. Okay? So what this amendment does here, it does not change existing employees. Existing employees, the state's going to pick up the same amount of money. It's going to pick up that 13.5% according to what this bill says. What the new amendment says is this. It says for state employees hired on after September 1st, 2018, and that date is in particular because that's when this bill goes into effect. It goes into effect September 1st, 2018. 3% of the member's salary shall be paid by the employer without any salary reduction or offset. And this is only for state employees, by the way, because that's what that paragraph 3, that three little I, that's what it's in particular for state employees. So we're not talking about anybody else who pays in. We're talking about state employees. And we're simply saying if you're hired on after September 1st as a state employee, that the state is going to pay a lower amount towards your portion of your pension. It's going to cover not only the 8%, but it's going to cover an additional 3% of your portion that you have to pay in. So roughly, the state will pick up 11%. They will be responsible for the 7%. Let me back that up. Get that right in my head. 5%, I think, is what it is. They'll have to pay roughly 5% while the state picks up 11%. So hope that clarifies it. Hope you vote aye on this amendment. Thank you.
Any other members for the first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess just on and against this, what I understand out of this is if you're hired September 1st, 2018 or after, you basically get paid the same amount as anybody who's currently employed. You just end up having to take a 2.5% pay cut. That's all I get out of this, on and against.
Any other members for the first time? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to page 9, lines 21 through 23, what we did for this increase, we are, which is, you know, basically a quarter of a percent per year, we've mandated by this language that it has to come out of the employee, half of it has to come out of the employee's paycheck and not the state. So we've already instituted the concept, but this amendment goes way above and beyond that, and it actually works backwards. And so there are some employers who have already, you know, are paying all of their compensation as part of their package. And so the reason we put that line in page 9, lines 21, is to say on this increase, it has to be split. And so the problem's already been addressed. And it's hard to know what 3% straight direct deduction is. I haven't run the numbers on it, so I don't understand the fiscal impact of it. But the issue, I believe, is already being addressed in the bill.
Any other members? First time, Representative Blake.
I'll be brief, Mr. Speaker. The industry I work in, they hire new people. They make less than I do doing the exact same thing, taking the same kind of dangers. I know it's not applicable there between what I do and what state employees may do, but it causes division. You do exactly what I do, but I make less money than you because I hired out at such a date is how I understand this. So please vote no on this amendment. Thanks.
Any other members? First time? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I just want to be clear. After it was pointed out to us what the chairman of the Appropriations Committee had, that the work they had done accomplished, I want to it seems like adding and putting this amendment on compounds that, or maybe it has no effect. I guess that's my question. One is changing statute. One is within a section, section two series. And so I guess I need to understand that a little better is, section two is obviously non-codified. Section one is codified. And so what is the additive effect of that? One seems to be only reflecting a impact to the amendment only impacts, but this contribution for new in hires. What's being done in the bill, which I would argue is for all employees and far beyond the scope of the amendment. So I just want to know what the additive component of these would be and actually singling out one section of those employees and not making it distributing it over all of the employees. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other members for the first time? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have any long discussion. I just want to, during the sponsor's second time, to just try to explain to us what's the end goal of this amendment and what's its purpose. I mean, why are we talking about this?
Okay. Any other members for their first time? Okay, moving to second time. I see no one moving to the mic. Second time before the sponsor. Seeing none. To the sponsor, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So a couple things that were mentioned a moment ago. The good chairman of Labor Health hit it on the head there when he talks about one part is codified, the other is not. Okay, Section 2, in which a good share of appropriations. And by the way, that section says no part of these appropriations shall be used to provide the increased employee contribution. So the increase. So you got to understand, in the whole context of this bill, we're actually saying that you have to pay more towards your pension. We're actually requiring that. In fact, if you look at your fiscal note, it's quite the fiscal note. And in the end, really, there we're asking employers and the employee to pay an additional 1%. My understanding of that is it's saying that it's split half and half, and that Section 2 here says no part of the appropriations used to provide the increased employee contribution. So I think it only applies to that. All right. So going back to the good chair of revenue, why is this needed? Again, kind of sound like a broken record. $900 billion shortfall. We're spending $900 billion more than what we take in. At some point, we have to reduce the state's share. Okay? It's written in law already. It's a half and half split. And when money is good, when we're rolling in it, when we have a windfall of cash, yes, let's go ahead and pay the portion of the employee's share. Let's do it. But we're not in that situation anymore. And friends, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to make some cuts somewhere. And this is a reasonable thing. This is just asking the employee, a new employee, pay your fair share. We'll kick in part of it. We'll kick in an additional 3%. But you need to pay your fair share towards your own retirement. We're not going to foot the whole bill or the majority of the bill. Pay your fair share. That's really what this amendment is saying. So I would ask you to vote on and in favor of the amendment.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, please say no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. 34. I'm telling you, my hearing's getting better. No, thank you. I appreciate that call for division. That's what we do here, so that's all good. Now on, but I am impressed with my hearing. It's not that easy up here at this this converted shopping center to a chamber is a little tricky. Okay, moving right along. Third reading amendment number 2, and that is Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully withdraw House reading, third reading amendment number 2.
Third reading amendment number 2 has been withdrawn. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 109 pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
House Bill 109, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. No. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Grew. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kenner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermueller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 109 has passed the House. Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Hey, could you all stand and join me? First of all, we have the beautiful lady on the back part of the row behind the kids is my wife, Christy, and then my 3 kids, Liberty, Zayden, and Bryson, are there, along with a bunch of kids from their school, the Risen Sun Christian School in Thermopolis, Wyoming. Would you welcome them to the House? Everybody stand. There we go. Thank you, guys.
Welcome to the House. It's awesome to have you here. Okay, beautiful. The next bill we have is House Bill 110. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 110, sponsored by Appropriations, Wyoming Retirement Plans, Member Accounts, an act relating to retirement plans administered by the Retirement Board of the Wyoming Retirement System, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 110, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
House Bill 110, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. No. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd. Byrd. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy.
Aye. Giroux. Giroux. Gray.
Aye.
Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Alverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members of the House, House Bill 110 has passed the House. Privilege of the floor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Quick privilege here. I have a number of members of the community I represent in, back in the fishbowl. First, Dan and Michelle Sobrowski, two very patriotic citizens from a county that I represent, and also Councilman Bob Hopkins, another great public servant. Please welcome them to the House. Thank you.
Okay. It's always great to have folks from County Number 1 down here. You know, folks, number one on your license plates, number one in your heart. Thank you for being here today. Before we move to Committee of the Whole, we have one standing committee report. Please read the report.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 31, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline, Extension. Respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bobie, Hunt, Kenner, Northrup, Paxton, and Pieperinen. Noes, Representatives Brown, Flitner, and Freeman. Signed, Representative Northrup, Chairman.
Okay, one announcement on our schedule. Our state capital construction bill, House Bill 194, is going to be heard tomorrow in appropriations at 8 a.m. And so there's actually a Senate bill coming our way as well. We're going to have to use the House bill as well, it looks like. And so that bill, and you might recall last year we have a floor schedule where we're trying. Remember we went over one day on the budget last year, similar situation. So I've told appropriations, go ahead and hear that bill. We're going to need that bill to keep working on solutions here in our state. So we're going to hear that bill tomorrow on a committee number 2. And any other standing committee reports? Okay, with that, Mr.
A privilege first,
please proceed,
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Floor Leader.
Just a comment on Councilman Hopkins there from your fair city. Number one in your heart, but it's not a 10. Mr. Speaker. Anyway, Councilman Hopkins there is an old uranium veteran that I've known for 30-plus years, and we need to thank him for running one of our uranium mines in Wyoming and producing lots of taxes over the years. That mine, I think, through the years produced, I don't know, about 50 million pounds or so? Yeah, that's substantial. They used to have a barrel of yellow cake sitting out in front of the mine and says this represents, I can't remember, 100 million tons of coal in a 55-gallon barrel. You know, it's pretty significant. But anyway, I wanted to recognize my old friend Bob there.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Committee of the Whole, there is only one change on the list you have. Go down to Bill number 6 and strike that and write Bill 58 there. That will take care of the first 16 bills on the list, and we'll have a new list after lunch. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Representative Lindholm. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 53. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 53, introduced by School Finance, State Educational Programs, an act relating to education. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee number 4, Education, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Hunt, Kenner, Northrup, Paxton, Piperinen. No, Representative Freeman. Signed, Representative Piperinen, Acting Chairman. This bill was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Northrup?
I move that when in committee the whole rises to report, do so with recommendation that House Bill number 53 do pass. And I'm looking for the person who is going to present it, and I don't see him, so I'll wing it. Okay, House Bill 53. School finance recalibration. As you turn through the page or turn through the bill, you'll see that on page 3 there's some new language, and it says 3 school years of science. 1 school year of computer science shall be deemed to satisfy 1 year of the 3-year requirements. And so what we've done is we've taken and added computer science in and are working it into the curriculum, making it part of it, and adding or making a provision for a substitute. As you turn on to page 4, you'll see that in the area of skills, not Common Core, but in the area of skills that we're talking about on top of page 4, computer science, including computational thinking, are added into it. Bottom of page 4, an additional math or a computer science. So now we've got two ways that we're talking about that these courses can be substituted in. And that continues on up to the top of page 6. As you look at page 5, on the bottom of page 5, an additional math or computer science course in grades 9 through 12, and computer science course shall not satisfy a requirement of this paragraph. The computer course is used to satisfy 1 or more years of science. And so you can't necessarily use it for a double substitution or just trying to work computer science. It's a very important initiative that the whole state's behind, and we'd really like for everybody to get behind it. Stand for questions.
Mr. Chairman, do you want to move the standing committee amendment, please?
I don't even have it.
does someone want to move the standing committee amendment? Somebody should probably do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 53. And yeah, I worked through it, yeah.
Are you presenting?
I don't.
You want to explain that, Mr. Chairman, or?
My bill walked away. Thank you. There's a little confusion back there. First off, you know. All righty. So as you look through this, On page 3, line 21, we have inserted that O will now be, line 21, we've inserted it into the Common Core of Knowledge. So I was wrong upon the first explanation of the bill. Line 23 is deleted. Line 2 and 3 are deleted on page 4. And on page 6, line 12, section 4, we have inserted the State Board of Education shall promulgate uniform student content and performance standards for computer science before January 1, 2020. Now I'll stand for questions. Thank you.
Any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment? Mr. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So just so you understand the conversation that occurred this summer with regard to this topic, and the body can make their own mind up, is the Education Committee took one approach, recalibration took another approach. So when you add in computer science into the Common Core of Knowledge, that requires a school district to implement a program. It requires standards to be created. It increases the basket of goods. And so in the recalibration committee said, we're not sure we want to go that far because that increase ultimately could increase the cost of education. As long as you recognize that and you're good with that, that's fine. What we said is we want to keep it in the Common Core skills, which means you can incorporate it into areas of the curriculum without developing standards and without requiring, I guess, implementation of a program. And then we incentivized computer science through the Hathaway and through the use in as a being able to use it as a science. So as you vote for this amendment, that's what you're doing, is you're changing that to where it is in the Common Core of Knowledge. It will be require districts to do so, and it will require standards to be implemented. So that was the debate that occurred this summer. You all make up your mind how you want to go.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the Standing Committee Amendment, and again, this is really about, do you want to add to the basket of goods or not? Because if you add to the basket of goods, the cost of education goes up. And again, we're, what is it, 400, just K-12 operations, it's like $468 million, I think, as far as the structural deficit that we have. And we would be adding millions more on top of that because this would be included in the basket of goods. I applaud the select committee of actually bringing the bill that we have before us without the amendment. I think that's a good fix. And so I would urge the body to reject the Standing Committee Amendment.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we didn't put any money with this. It's what you call an unfunded mandate. And so we're telling them, and this is through the person who oversees this department, and she completely agrees with us, put it in as a standard or in a standard and make sure that everybody's teaching to the same quality of education. Now you say, we don't have an education person in our district that's good enough to teach computer science. So we've asked PTSB to lower their standards and make it so that they can work up into it, so that somebody who's interested in technology can get that certification while still being an educator. We've done all kinds of things to relax this so that we can make this occur. And don't forget, it's 5 years before this will happen. So in 5 years, we'll be looking at computer science. That's why we're trying to get it put in and get it going right now. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand against this amendment. I guess I'm worried the cost is going to go up. Also, I'm worried that we're going to be able to find teachers to teach the subject. I can't imagine if you had knowledge in this realm or in coding, why you would go work at a school district and you could go out into business and make quite a bit more. So, against the amendment.
Representative Kenner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow members, rest assured that we worked on this really hard throughout the interim, and we heard considerable testimony about this. And We heard testimony from school districts. We heard testimony from that organization that certifies teachers, and they have a plan in place. They have worked it out where over the course of this period, they will work with our teachers so that they can teach these kinds of classes and then work on a plan to get the certification needed. And so it was really a consensus that this was a thing that we needed to do, and that there was a plan in place over 2 years. That organization that does the certifications has an excellent plan in place, and with the 2 years to work on those rules and so on, and then the 3 years following that for actual implementation, what we heard from the districts was that gave them the time that they would need to put this in place. And so, ladies and gentlemen, because of the significance of this, we felt like it was really, really important to go ahead, and that was backed up by the testimony that we heard throughout the entire interim. Thank you very much.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know what the good chairman was talking about when he talked about PTBS. I think that's okay to say, lowering their standards. No, they're finding ways to where that they can get temporary certificates. It's kind of like a Lego effect where that they get the first one, they can add another thing, and they can build that up to where that they can to be fully qualified to teach computational thinking. Just to refresh your minds, skills is different than core. Skills they can do right now, that they can incorporate it into any kind of curriculum that they have, and they can build on that. Core means that they're going to have to develop curriculum. They're going to have to develop resources towards that. And to refresh your memory, it is an unfunded mandate because this didn't have any money that went into it. When I question whether or not how effective it's going to be without any money, the answer is, well, we're not going to have any push on it for 5 years, and maybe there will be money at that time. I used to be a computer science major. I think computational thinking is essential. I think that this is something that has to be done. Yet I voted against the bill. And I don't often stay up at night thinking about particular issues. And about 10 days ago, I did. And as I said, I believe computer science is very important and is needed in our system. But I have been here for a while. And not too long ago, it was, we have to add personal finance to the curriculum. We had to add civics to the curriculum. We have computer science, and I know that there's one or two that I have forgotten. I think these are all very important. But I know that in many of the school districts around is they are so worried about the tests that we are requiring and that they meet certain requirements that they're teaching reading and they're teaching math. And when I ask them, as a former social studies teacher, how much social studies are you teaching? Not much or not at all are the frequent answers. The same thing is with science. I just think that by adding something else without taking something off,
that we're just adding to a powder keg to where that we're going to have problems keeping teachers, especially if the only way that we're evaluating them is how they do on a test. I believe in computational thinking. You'll have to vote your conscience, but that is the way that I see it playing out. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I wholeheartedly agree with the last speaker. You know, in talking with my school district back home, their concern was it was an unfunded mandate, but we're stretching resources so much. How effective can we really expect our teachers to teach or our kids to learn when we're requiring them to do all of these things? And by the way, just so everybody's aware, we've got 12 items right now in the Common Core. And these are things, as the good last speaker just mentioned, these are things that every school, from the biggest to the smallest, has to have curriculum and resources in order to carry out the Common Core. So we've got reading and language arts, we've got social studies, mathematics, science, fine arts and performing arts, physical education, health and safety, humanities, career and vocational education, foreign cultures and languages, applied technology, government and civics, including state and federal constitutions. And now we're going to add computer science. How long do you want your kids to go to school? Well, you could send them there from 8 until 5. They might get some of this stuff then. But we're overloading our schools. And at the same time, we're boosting up the cost of education. And I agree. I don't think we should be adding anything onto this Common Core of goods without taking something away. Are all of these things good? Absolutely. We could argue the merits of each and every one of them. But we have to prioritize, on and against.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I realize that cost has to be taken into consideration. That's important. But the bottom line is we've got to do what's best for kids. And what's best for kids is providing them an opportunity to stay in the state of Wyoming and providing jobs. We heard plenty of testimony that there are tens of thousands of jobs out there in the area that requires some degree of computer science. And it's only fitting that we should start that process. It's an evolutionary process. It's not a revolutionary process. It takes a while for us to get there. This amendment moves us in the right direction. It's the right thing to do for kids, and we will find a way to make it work in the system. Those of us that have been in education for a while have found ways to incorporate these various things into the curriculum without doing damage to the rest of the curriculum. If you look at how many college classes the kids take, there is still room in the curriculum to add something like this. And there's a lot of enthusiasm on behalf of the kids. We had kids come to our committee and testify. Some of them very young children that are anxious to have this as part of their requirement. So, bottom line is let's support this amendment and do what's best for kids.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to point out that unfunded mandates this year will result in mandates on funding next year. Thank you.
Representative Bovee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to say that one of my colleagues in here came to this mic and said, if somebody is certified to teach computer science, why would they teach in our schools when they could make so much money out there? That's exactly why we need to include computer science in our curriculum, because we want our kids to be able to go out and make money. I understand the plates are full. I do understand that. But I think we've got to start pulling things off. But in the meantime, we have to move forward with this. Thank you.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to withdraw the amendment. It has a technical correction it needs to be in. I'll bring it as the second amendment reading, where we may have all the House standing amendments go to, because we've spent 15 minutes on this one bill. This yellow sheet has 63 that need to be introduced. If we spend 15 minutes, and there's more than that out there, we just don't have them on the list. So if we spend 15 minutes on every one of these, there's a whole bunch of these that are going into the trash can. Thank you.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, you are withdrawing Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Is that correct?
Correct.
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been withdrawn from House Bill
Point
Number
of order.
53. Okay. Chairman Zawanitzer.
Can you withdraw a Standing Committee Amendment from a committee and move the bill forward without a vote one way or another, Mr. Chairman?
Point taken, Mr. Chairman. You cannot, because that Standing Committee Amendment has been passed by a committee. Back on the Standing Committee Amendment. Any further questions? Representative?
Question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Piperinen, go ahead.
Lest you think my name on the bottom of this amendment is an endorsement, it is not. I'm against unfunded mandates. I'm against putting this in the Common Core skills, or in the Common Core. Should stay in the skills. Against the amendment.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm most concerned about how the small school districts are going to be able to provide the educators for these students. I think that is an unrealistic expectation, and therefore I would be against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question being called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has failed. We are back on the bill. Question being called on the bill, on House Bill Number 53. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. House Bill 53 has passed Committee of the Whole. The first bill, or the next bill for our consideration, is House Bill Number 35. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you,
pardon me. Hang on, Chairman. Pardon me. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 35, sponsored by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Motor Club Services Updates, an act relating to insurance. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. No, Representative Edwards. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. This bill was then referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 35 do pass, and I turn the bill over to my good friend and capable Vice Chair from the center of the state.
Vice Chairman Laux. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you so much. Hopefully we can make up some time on this one right now. It's a very simple change in some old language. Has to do with motor club memberships. And I'll read the act related to insurance, amending definitions, motor club service, amending requirements for motor club membership cards or certificates, repealing requirements and procedures for motor club agent license. And so these have to do motor clubs. I mean, a lot of people don't even know what they are, but they're, you know, the biggest one that you remember is one that sort of is like BBB, but it's not. We've got one out there that's the Bad Bobs Club, and then we got another one that has to do with the Stagecoach Owners of America, and there's literally thousands of them, and so we regulate those to some extent. So all we're doing is adding some language on page 2 with new things. For example, on line 10, it talks about consisting of fuel delivery, extrication, lockout services, things that weren't in this language before. We're also changing... and on page 3, we're changing how the commission can terminate a motor club's request. And then probably the biggest part of it is on down on 3114, 115 on page 3 at the bottom of the page. Most people don't carry membership cards anymore, and so many of our people anymore, we're tied to our phones, and so we're not requiring to provide an annual membership card. Changes the language to proof of membership provided to the contract holder. There's also another change on 4 that has to do with the offices that oversee these clubs. Changing the language there, striking usual place of business in the state, giving street number. Normally there's not an office in the state. They're all centralized somewhere else. So these changes are simple, and I just ask for your favorable vote on this. Thank you very much.
Any discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 35 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 35 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 36, sponsored by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Move over requirement, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. No, Representative Edwards. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. The bill was then referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters. No, Representative Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Bill number 36 do pass, House Bill number 36 do pass. And I'll explain the bill. Most of us can remember this bill from last year. It came in. This is amends law that we have on the move over regulation. Presently, Highway Patrol and firemen would be covered. Emergency vehicles on the highway would be covered. But other vehicles and people working on the highway where it's their workplace are not covered. That'd be some snow plows, highway construction, public utility companies. And they need to be added to this law. And it would be more consistent with what we want to do. And so when it came to the House, we had some concerns and problems with it. The bill was refined and changed, and I think most of the changes were really good. The only difference between what we have in this bill and last year is that it included anybody that's pulled off to the side of the road with emergency flashers fixing the tires. So it kind of was all inclusive. The difference between those people and the ones we're including here is anyone whose workplace is on the highway. We contract them, have them come. It died an unusual death on the other side. There was never any debate. And on third reading, it failed. So we have to deal with it again here today. The fiscal impact will be done in-house. It'll be signs and maybe $140,000 to $170,000. And we're kind of doing some of that anyway, but the cost is fairly insignificant. We had testimony of people who were working on the highway, snowplow drivers and whatnot, injured as a part of their work, and I don't think any of us would want to be run over while we're working here or at our regular business. But anyway, I think it's a good bill, and I'd ask for your favorable vote.
Questions? Further discussion of House Bill 36. Seeing none and question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Eklund's motion on the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 36 do pass, please say aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
House Bill 36 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, a little bit of adjustments here. Not the next bill, but the bill after House Bill 14, move it to the bottom of the first page. So the next three bills will be House Bill 13, House Bill 69, and House Bill 58.
Okay.
Okay, move House Bill 14 to the bottom of that first page. So the next bill we will hear is House Bill 13, followed by House Bill 69, followed by 58.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 13. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 13, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Municipal Extraterritorial Jurisdiction Repeal, an act relating to municipalities. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. No, Representative Byrd. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer. Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Vice Chairman Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 13 do pass. And I'll just explain this pretty quick, Mr. Chairman. What we're looking at on House Bill Number 13, Municipal Extraterritorial Jurisdiction, on the repeal, would be in regards to, and I'll start out in Section 1 here, that amends Title 15 in the city annexing sections to remove references to the authority of municipalities within the half-mile donut, essentially, of the city pursuant to the repeal in Section 2 of the bill. So if you see in Section 2 that reference is over. Also requiring notification by certified mail to residents of the county who live in areas proposed to be annexed by a municipality, announcing a hearing on that annexation. We had the opportunity to speak to municipalities in regards to that certified mail aspect, and it's something that I think everybody feels better about is you have that cross-reference. They know they got it. They know they sent it. So in regards to further amending Title 15 in the Municipal Urban Renewal section, that removes the authority of municipalities to exercise that authority outside of those city limits. We also amend Title 34 in the Plat Development section to remove the requirements on developers to seek approval of both the municipality and the county when the project is within 1 mile of the municipality. So that's that 1 mile donut. Half mile ordinance, 1 mile as far as approval, that's that other donut. Section 2, we get into the repealers. That repeals Wyoming Statute 15-3202B, the section of the statute that allows municipalities the authority to pass and enforce city ordinances outside the municipality's city limits within half mile of the city limits. We also repeal Wyoming Statute 18-5308B, the section of statute that requires developers to receive city approval for plat developments outside the city limits, but within 1 mile of the city limits. This act is effective July 1st, 2018. And this is the repeal one. I'll stand for questions.
There is a Committee of the Whole amendment. Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would recommend, it's in your box, by the way. I would recommend Committee of the Whole amendment number one and ask for your favorable consideration. Basically, what happened, we presented an amendment during committee. There were some concerns. So the tall presenter of the bill and me being the short representative, we got together and came to a compromise on an amendment, and we got the organization that works with county commissioners to work on this, and we all came to an agreement. This amendment just provides a little relief for the cities in that basically if it turns the power over to the county, But if the county is approving a plat within 1 mile of the city, they at least contact the city and make them aware so that they can consider the infrastructure, street alignments, et cetera. And all they're saying is they'll solicit comments from the city. That doesn't necessarily change their decision, but at least the city's informed, and the city has to respond prior to 10 days before the plat is approved. So I think this is a very reasonable compromise.
Vice Chairman Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to reiterate, I'm in favor of committing the whole amendment number one. This is just soliciting comments. That's it. Doesn't hold anybody hostage. Allows the opportunity for the city to comment. Vote aye.
On the amendment, Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on and in favor or against the amendment, and I would just like to add, you know, county commissioners are elected by everyone in the county, including the cities. Without solid support from city residents and so forth, commissioners have great incentive to make the right call on planning issues. And what I'm hearing in this amendment is that it smells like, it seems like, a little bit of micromanagement. Shall here, shall there, and so forth. So I think we want to maybe exercise a little caution, resist the amendment.
Vice Chairman Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the sponsors of the amendment. In all the people sitting around the table coming up with this, were there any county residents?
Vice Chairman Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You're looking at one. No. this was specifically in regards to the Committee of the Whole amendment that was specifically shopped to the individuals from cities and counties, and everybody's in agreement on this amendment, Committee of the Whole amendment number one. In regards to the legislation, counties are definitely more in favor of it than cities.
Further discussion on the amendment. Seeing none in question being called on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 is passed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion on House Bill 13. Seeing none in question being called, all those in favor of, Chairman, Vice Chairman Lindholm's motion when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill 13 do pass, please say aye. Opposed say no. House Bill 13 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are now on. Next bill for consideration is House Bill 58. The reading clerk will read the bill. The next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 69. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 69, introduced by Representative Steinmetz. Impersonation through electronic means, spoofing, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Mr. Chairman, this bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Zwanitzer, what's your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move in the Committee of the Whole rises to report it. Do so with the recommendation that House Bill 69 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I would turn it over to the good legislator from District 5.
Vice Chairman Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is a bill about spoofing. Just to remind you, spoofing is impersonation through electronic means. The meat of the bill is on page 2, and basically it says that if you knowingly, without consent, intentionally impersonate another actual person through internet website or by electronic means, including but not limited to spoofing, and you cause or attempt to cause harm, harass, or attempt to harass another person, or use or attempt to use false self-identifying information related to that person, there is a misdemeanor associated, punishable by a fine of not more than $1,000 and imprisonment for not more than 1 year. So that's just the addition to our statutes. I would love to have your aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. Who is going to be investigating these particular crimes? And I guess one of the things that I question on this particular situation is if there is a fake profile created on the Book of Faces that has my name or something like that, how is that going to be administered? How would somebody go about having an investigator prove that was taken care of by this particular bill?
Not a quick question. Vice Chairman Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have heard in committee that law enforcement has the capability to track these things through IP addresses. I'm not sure how it would relate to the Book of Faces. I do know from some incidents with my store this year that the police monitor that site pretty frequently. So I would assume you might have to turn them in if they were impersonating you to the authorities.
Any other discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman's one... Ooh. All right, you guys. All those in favor of Chairman's Wanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 69 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
House Bill 69 has passed.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 1:30.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, Chairman Zwanitzer, standing committee reports, I'm guessing.
How about standing committee before you make that call?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just letting you know, House Corporations, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions will not be meeting today at lunch.
Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I hear lunch is being served by Wyoming Realtors and H51.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet at noon in about 10 minutes in H38 to continue our discussion of House Bill 191, Termination of Parental Rights, Child Support Obligations, and to hear House Bill 71, Child Custody.
Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, there will be a new list on your desk when you come back from lunch for general file.
Any other standing committees? Seeing none, all those in favor of recessing, signify by saying aye. All those opposed?
No.
Guess we're working. Recess.